Hello and welcome to Own Your Health with me, Katie Brindle. So in today's episode of Own Your Health, we're going to be talking about empty nest syndrome, a syndrome which will affect so many of us between the ages of 40 to 60 that I felt that it needed to be covered in this episode with some brilliant techniques about how to manage this time of your life. Before we go into the nuts and bolts of today's episode, I just want to draw your attention to a really brilliant supplement that I know and love and endorse and have talked to many people about, and it's called Menofriend by Dr. Vegan. Now, so many people are suffering from their menopause these days, and there's so much information out there about HRT, the pros and the cons and all the rest, but this is a really good natural alternative to HRT or in addition to. And over 40,000 women have tried and endorsed this product, so it's not just me talking about it. There are many, many thousands of people talking about this product. It's really, really good. It works across a swathe of menopausal symptoms like brain fog, hot flushes, night sweats. And what you've got here is a wonderful natural formula, which is totally award-winning. So it's been endorsed not by just 40,000 women, but it's also been endorsed by some awards at the same time. And trust me, there is fierce competition in this marketplace. So it's really, really important to follow these awards and the advice of other women and me, myself, because I've taken this supplement and I think it's really good, which is why I wanted to share it, because it's one of the ones that has kind of stood the test of time in my cabinet, because often I find I can end up buying these supplements and then I haven't really noticed a difference and then I don't take them. But this one makes the cut. So if you're suffering from menopausal symptoms, please, please, please give this one a try and join forces with these 40,000 other people that have been talking about it. And aside from all of this brilliant accolades, the other thing I love about Dr. Vegan is obviously in the name, it's vegan, and that's always good because it's cruelty free, but also it's planet friendly because the way that they package the supplements is all of that can biodegrade naturally at the end. So it's all recyclable. So that's also really good. And it's pocket friendly because they're giving us a 25% discount. Thank you, Dr. Vegan. So if you just shove in Brindle25 at checkout, then you will receive a 25% discount off your purchase. So thank you very much. So there we go. That was a little explanation as to why I think this menopausal supplement is worthy of your interest. And now let's get back to the episode. In today's episode, we're going to talk about empty nest syndrome. Most people are going through empty nest syndrome some point between the ages of 40 to 60. Slightly depends on when we start having our children, which tends to be a bit later now than it used to be. But what's happening with this is it tends to collide now with our menopause or retirement. So in the olden days, not the good old days, because everyone seems to be nostalgic about the good old days. I'm like, if you just watch a bit of Netflix, you might just find that they weren't that great. But anyway, in the olden days, women yet used to have their children relatively early. Most of us will identify with our mothers saying to us, oh, well, in our day, we used to just get married and have children. And that was kind of that. Now, in our day, we tend to work and then get married and then have our children. And those children can come along sometimes in our 20s, but more often than not in our 30s and often in our early 40s. Meaning that when those children then finally grow up and leave the nest, whether that's to go off to work or whether it's to go to university or whether they want to go traveling or whether they're going to live abroad or whether they're just moving out, means that this time is hitting us and colliding really with menopause. And also with retirement, because this menopause can be dragging on quite a long time as well. And it's having a really negative impact on an already difficult period of our life that we have to navigate at the same time. Now, I think one of the main things that we need to think about with empty nest syndrome is if you are the primary caregiver to your children, whether you do or don't have a job, the reality is that when those children grow and then don't need us in the same way, perhaps not quite in the same level of hands-on parenting, it can often result in a loss of purpose. Now, this loss of purpose is really important because if any of you are new to the podcast, I would urge you to just go back to one of the early episodes that we'll just link underneath. But I talk about purpose as the top of the pyramid of health. Okay, so if you think about your health, you've got kind of three aspects to your health. And at the bottom of the pyramid, which is the kind of heavy end, is your physical health. The middle section is your emotional health. And the top of this pyramid, taking you all the way up to the kind of point at the top, is your purpose and your divinity and your divine state, the kind of the meaning of life. And often if that meaning of life has all of a sudden just gone because they've disappeared, then that can be quite a wrench if we haven't prepared for it. Now, I think the first thing, therefore, to say is, well, what's Chinese medicine got to do with any of this? Is that the first thing is that Chinese medicine is all about prevention. So the first thing to say is that you always want to get ahead of everything before it happens. The second aspect of Chinese medicine is that it's very much connected to seasonal flow and the flow of nature. And once you understand that and you start to observe nature, you'll start to notice that nature moves quite slowly. Perhaps observe some flowers. If you've ever bought some flowers from the supermarket and they're in your kitchen or your living room, you'll notice that they open quite slowly. If you go outside and observe, say, springtime, you will notice that the buds start to form on the branches of the trees, which can look like branches to start with. And then it takes a good 2 or 3 weeks for them to start to open into bloom. Right now, I'm delivering this content in high summer. So perhaps if you go outside and look at some lovely roses, for example, it will take a good week before that bud actually opens into full bloom. So nature moves slowly. And so did we. Did we? Now, we don't anymore, because what's happened is the narrative of man-made time and time-saving devices and the imposition of an educational system and the evolution as to how children grow up means that everything's sped up a lot. You only need to, something that I actually like to do, is go to the National Gallery. And it's really interesting because you kind of go through all the rooms and it all takes ages. It's like a century for this and then another century for that. And then all of a sudden you get to the Impressionists when things were really starting to speed up at that point. Indeed, that they would make their paintings kind of relatively quickly because they were almost competing with a camera at the time. So they were sort of proving that art could kind of speed up against machines. And then all of a sudden you'll notice that the art world starts to get faster and faster and faster and faster, all the way through to the fact that you then need the Tate, and then you need the Tate Modern as well, because everything's going so quickly, it's almost tumbling across itself. Now, the same is true for ourselves and our lifespans and how we process things. So rather than things happening slowly, what tends to happen is that these moments in our life suddenly kind of car crash into us, and we're left feeling really rather plundered and really rather bereft and really rather empty, and feeling a little bit lost. And yet, actually, the first thing to say about this is get ahead of it. So if you're listening to this and you have children, and not everybody does by a long stretch, but if you're listening to this and you have children, the first thing is, despite how busy you probably are trying to juggle your children with the rest of your life, the first thing to do is to start in your journal keeping a note, just like a little corner of your peripheral vision to yourself. Because it can be very all-consuming looking after other people, especially in the modern day world, because there's not very much available time. So even if all of your life is taken up thinking and dealing with everyone else around you, it's always a useful thing to have a list of things that you love. I call it the I love list. Now, I use the I love list in healing a lot, and it works really, really well with the emptiness syndrome, whether you do or don't actually have the emptiness syndrome quite yet. So the first thing that you want to do is have an I love list and write it down in your journal. So take some time, perhaps if you're listening to this and you've got a journal sort of floating around, and if you don't, please just buy one, okay, and then press pause and start. And what I always recommend you do is just on this list, write down every single thing that you love, everything. And you've got to fill it with detail. It's a really, really good lifeline when life kind of just like descends all around you and you feel completely overwhelmed. And it's just a really kind of like overwhelming sensation of emptiness and engulfment in too much going on. If you refer to your I love list, you can kind of grab yourself a lifeline and go, right, I feel awful. So what I'm going to do is find three things on this already existing list that's going to help me. Okay, three things I love. So let's think about what that can be. It can be big things. So when I did this exercise, this is when I was having a complete midlife crisis. I think I was having a kind of an early emptiness syndrome moment when my kids were really little, because as usual with me, I tend to do things slightly ahead of themselves. And my life kind of crashed all around me and it was very dark. And it was very miserable and it was very empty and it was very sad. And I had to kind of crawl my way out as best I could using the advice that I was understanding from my own spiritual growth and from the Taoist masters I was studying at the time. And I wrote this list, and on this list was anything from like big stuff like opera. I love opera. I've always loved opera. I discovered opera when I was about 7 years old, which is quite early. As I said, I tend to do things early. I then discovered electric dance music when I was in my early 30s. So I kind of did it the wrong way around. But anyway, I was busy singing when everyone else was dancing, and then I sort of flipped it all around. So I love opera. So opera was at the top of the list. So I would make it my business to listen to opera when I was feeling bad. Okay, I also love Beethoven symphonies as well, particularly 6, 7, and 8. So those would feature heavily. And the thing about the I love list is you don't need that much time to implement it. If you're going, well, I'm too busy dealing with my life, my children, I'm in a dark place with my empty nest syndrome, the first thing to do is to just notice that there's many things that can be multitasked. So listening to music is a really good one. I also actually love listening to podcasts. My, shout out, my favourite one is The Rest is History. I absolutely love it. Sponsor me! No. They're amazing. I love them so much. And I listen to it all the time. And it brings me so much joy. The I love list gives you an opportunity to see above the parapet of what everyone else needs and to start thinking about the things that you love. Because love is the ultimate energy frequency that heals the body. Unconditional love. And starting to think about things that you love is extremely helpful. Funnily enough, as I was speaking, I was just looking around the studio and there are some really beautiful plants in this studio. And I just noticed a little scented candle flickering over there. And I thought, there's another example. Having plants around you, they bring life. Having scented candles in the room brings aromatherapy benefits. These are not taking up any of my time, but they're giving me energy frequency and they're giving me love energy and they're reciprocating. So they're starting to feed me. So the first thing to say to everyone is whether your children have left or whether they're leaving or whether they're not leaving for ages, the I love list is crucial to our healing. Now, from the I love list, the first thing is it's a parachute, which is if you're drowning in sadness, then the first thing is just grab 3 things off that I love list. I recommend you do it the night before. So when you go to bed, look at it and think about the next day and go, right, tomorrow I'm going to take 3 things off that list and I'm going to make sure that I do them. Because often what happens is when you're feeling in this lower energy state, that you wake up in the morning and it's on you straight away. Before that dark mist descends, before you've even had a chance to kind of wake up and kind of greet the day, especially if it's in the darker time of year, okay? Because that tends to bring more sadness around it anyway. It's easier in the summer. So have that list ready the night before so that if you wake up in the morning and you feel wretched before you've even got out of bed and it's already started, you go, okay, I'm going into autopilot. I'm just going to do those 3 things. And start with those 3 things and make sure you do them. And you now, at this point, then need to get a little bit selfish, because the more you feel empty and the harder this is to cope with, the more you need to drench it in love energy, the more that I love list needs to come into play. Now, again, when I was really deep down in this sadness and that emptiness, that feeling, I would start with the basic 3. So no matter what, I'm going to achieve these 3 things. But when things were really bad, I had to get more selfish about the I love list and I would start to saturate my day. I would kind of love bomb my day with the I love list. Now that then takes us into the actual emptiness moment in itself, because the one thing you have when those children leave that nest is some free time. And let me tell you, if that might feel like a bit of a sort of a weird burden, because it feels almost kind of energetically agoraphobic, which it may well do when you start, let me tell you, that is what we would also call a blessing in disguise. And it really is in disguise when it comes in, because at first it doesn't feel like a blessing at all. It feels rather overwhelming and quite wretched. But if you start with the I love list and start to saturate yourself into the I love list, then that's a really good place to start. So that's the first thing. And please, with your I love list, make it as long and as comprehensive as you possibly can. And if anyone is feeling sort of community spirited right now, do feel free in the comments. James has pricked up his ears thinking, is she about to wrap up? No, I'm not. I haven't finished yet. But do feel free in the comments below to list some things that you would think, actually, this is good stuff. I've shared. So a healthy one that I absolutely love. Anyone that follows me will know this. Tea. I love tea. I love tea. I love tea more than actually, I think, probably opera. I've said it. I do. It is my absolute favourite thing in the world. I love it so much. I love it, love it, love it. And it makes me so happy. So often what I will do is just stop and go, right, the mummy shop is shut. I'm having a tea break. No one is to bother me. I'm having 10 minutes to myself. And then I will open up, the shop will open back up again and I'm ready to receive whatever you're about to hurl at me. So put some real showstoppers onto that list. Really have a think about things that you really, really, really love. And ideally healthy things. Okay, so putting on I love cream cakes is fine. And there's nothing wrong with that. I actually do quite like crisps. I mean, I've got to just open up to that one as well. I do love a crisp. So crisps were on there. That doesn't mean I was then sitting in front of Netflix eating crisps all day. Okay, I wasn't. But try and keep the I love list into kind of healthy, constructive, love-generating activities. But to start with, just write everything down. Books that you've really enjoyed reading, podcasts that you love listening to. Okay, drinks that you enjoy drinking, things, people that you enjoy talking to, friendships, places. Just categorize it. And do please, guys, write down in the comments below things that you could think of as well. Now, having done that, because that's your own oxygen mask, it's like I'm drowning in sorrow, and I need air, I need inspiration, I need inhalation. There's the lungs, because immediately the lung energy starts to go, ah, there's light, I can inspire, I can inhale. Okay, I can actually see that there's purpose and greater self and meaning beyond me, this caregiver, and me, just this kind of like ready here to just kind of look after everyone else. Now, once that's happened and that's working, or in conjunction to, and if it's not working, if it's not enough, because you're so dark, it's so bleak, it's so bad, we have to go higher or deeper. We kind of have to do both, because ultimately love is the ultimate frequency. Unconditional love is what we heal with. But the greatest expression of unconditional love is suffering for others. Because that's where compassion comes from. So the thing that took me to the next step of applying this theory into my own miserable state and then being able to give about 15 years of assistance to everybody else, because I've kind of been through it both academically and actually, is if you can use your suffering for the greater good. And that really then converts the energy. That really is where the magic occurs. So this is where, if we've got some free time, that we start thinking about, okay, well, what could I do that would help other people as well? What would happen? What about other people going through the same thing as me? So what about I join a community of people who are going through the same problem? And I wonder if my problems would be shared, or even if I've started to improve the situation, I might be of use to for other people to help. Now, that's kind of what happened to me as I was going through my kind of sort of preempted emptiness syndrome that was a midlife crisis all wrapped into one, because it is all the same stuff, was having got my own oxygen mask on first, realised that these techniques actually really worked, realised that they needed a little bit of translation and a little bit of sort of refreshing to kind of make themselves relevant to the kind of modern day 21st century audience, was to say, I wonder if actually me applying some of this knowledge to help other people, me putting it out there, would actually be useful for other people as well. And lo and behold, of course, that's what's indeed happened, because that's exactly what's happened. And you've probably heard of me because I've probably done something at some point or other that's helped you. I've taught you about a gua sha crystal or a sculptor, or you've come across something in my book or in a podcast or on some stupid Instagram story where I'm prattling about. So the point is that I flipped the energy frequency from being my oxygen mask to then starting to think about, well, let me see if this oxygen mask next to me will help the person alongside. And now I wouldn't rush to do that. It's always important, as they tell you on aircrafts, to put your own oxygen mask on first. But I can tell you, when I teach Qigong and healing into the healing community, that the advanced ladies that have been doing this with me, and when we say, right, let's start sending the energy through the group, and then advanced ladies start sending the energy through, and it is all ladies, by the way, in the healing circle. So advanced ladies send the energy out, bam, the energy improves. And you feel it. And you wouldn't think you would, because we're all in our bathrooms on our phones. And yet you do, because it works. And this is the amazing thing, that you will often find that that deepest, darkest hour is actually the making of the next chapter of who we are. And actually thinking about ways that you can be of use to a greater sort of society rather than the micro world of our, of the society of our micro families, and actually take expanding it a bit to the society of people around us, will actually start to develop human consciousness and enable the 21st century to become this amazing possibility of an enlightened century, where ultimately it's the century of the matriarch, which really kind of like starts to wrap this up. Because where are we going with all of this? Well, when I started this podcast today, this episode, we talked about the fact that the emptiness syndrome has a bit of a nasty habit of colliding with the menopause and the retirement moment and all of that. Now, the key thing to that is if you flip it the other way and go, well, hang on a minute, the menopause is not a bad thing. I know it's been portrayed as such, but it's not, is that actually the matriarch moment, which is what we really need to think of it as, is actually the opportunity when the divine feminine comes into her full power. And the divine feminine is all about making alliances and expanding the energy and actually expanding into our wisdom and expanding into our higher selves and making the meaning of life actually our number one focus. Because when you reach the second half of your life, you are moving towards the exit program. I mean, there's so much exciting stuff to come in the second half of our lives if we understand the truth and the meaning of it and why we're here. And what we're here is to nurture our wisdom and to cultivate our spirits. And that's what suddenly becomes available. So having this time on our hands, actually, once you've understood how to fill it, is an extremely powerful thing. And one last tip before we go as to how to apply all this brilliant wisdom and information is give yourself a timetable. If you feel overwhelmed and it's all getting too much and you wake up in the morning and the day is just stretching out ahead of you and you're like, oh my God, what is the point of all of this? The best thing that I did to apply all this wisdom that I'm offering you right now is I slotted it into a timetable. So I gave myself a very strict kind of itinerary of what I did. And it was a sort of strict itinerary of self-care. Exercise in the morning is always a good idea. Exercise always makes you feel better. Getting into nature always will make you feel better. So I out into nature, I would go. Now, at this particular stage in my life, I was really into electric dance music. So I would go for a run because it was a long time ago and running really helped me. I wouldn't do it now, but then it was helpful. And I used to run to David Guetta every day, pounding the cycle path until eventually I couldn't run anymore and I didn't need it. And then that was the end of that. And now I don't really listen to that anymore either because life's moved on. But at the time I had a timetable. I exercised in the morning. I ate at the same time every day. I gave myself earth pivots and I allowed myself as much therapy as I could afford. Okay, as much as I could afford to do, whether it was self-care or paying someone else, whether it was oral therapy where I was talking to someone, or whether it was hands-on massage techniques, or whether it was listening to Beethoven's piano concertos in the bath with my Hey You bath salts, whatever it was. But I had a time and a place for everything and I mapped it out. And when everything closed in, I would just stick to the timetable and just think, well, in half an hour, I'm going on to the next thing. And it would just work its way through. And eventually you come out the other side, time moves on, and eventually it will start to work. But if anyone is suffering from emptiness syndrome, do please in your comments below or DM me, okay, if there's anything more that we can do to help you here, because it is a really, really common syndrome. It's not just about emptiness. It can often be when we've lost a job or we've gone into grief or we've gone into loss. So it kind of pivots itself into many different things. But these techniques, I promise you, work. They're extremely helpful. But if anyone needs more support, do please let me know and I'll do everything we can to help you.